This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready for a trench talk, Keith?
Trenches!
Yeah, I love trench talk.
Your hog mollies.
Yep.
Best hoss availables.
Your big uglies.
Yeah. I'm ready to get into that. I will say.
I'm in on trench.
I'm having a little trouble focusing.
Yeah. Big hoss.
Yeah. I'm having a little trouble focusing after Wiggy just had the flex of the day with that jersey.
Oh, he's just dunking on me left and right with all his jerseys. Not only the one that he's wearing, a Joe Sakic Quebec Nordiques sweater.
So nice. I'm sorry, a sweater, jersey. Not a jersey. Yeah, shame on me. Yeah,
but then he was telling me about all the basketball and football jerseys that he has, and it is impressive.
Well,
it's an impressive list.
He said,
it's a great collection.
Self-proclaimed, he said he has a very high-level jersey game.
He's not wrong.
Well, I'm just saying.
And I respect that. I respect the hell out of a jersey game.
I didn't say he was wrong. I'm just saying it was very much self-proclaimed high-level.
Yes. But then he kept backing it up. He's like, what about this one? Joe Montana, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Joe Namath, Alabama.
Jerry West, West Virginia.
Yeah, the Jerry West, West Virginia one is kind of like hard to compete with,
I would imagine.
The man's the logo, for God's sakes.
It's a trump card. You slap that one down. Yeah, keep it in your back pocket for a minute.
Like, you got me.
Kind of just, you kind of just save it. Whip out a little extra there at the end, just
impressive.
In case. But it was very impressive.
Uh-huh.
But it would shock you. He seemed very disappointed when he asked me about my jerseys. I said, I've owned like three in my life.
He's like, never mind.
It would shock you to know I'm not a jersey
guy. He's like, I should have started this conversation with you. I'll move on.
Billy, you a jersey? Is Billy a jersey guy? You got jerseys back there?
I remember Billy had a great jersey. He wore to work years ago. It was the Shea Hillenbrand
All-Star jersey.
All-Star jersey.
02 All-Stars.
Nice.
But no, I have a
That was back when it counted. That was back when it counted, right?
No. I think that was the that made them.
Counted.
So I think it was 02 was the one they ran out of players, so 03 was when it started to
make
count.
Make it count. There we go. Yeah.
So, but I was deep into jerseys. Like, remember when jerseys weren't stitched? Like, because they were never stitched before?
Yes.
But I had, like, a ton of them. Like, I got a Deion Dallas one.
Nice.
I got a home Cordell Stewart one. Yeah, I had a few of them.
Slash.
I Jeremy Shockey one.
Wow. Ooh, Shockey's a good one.
So if I went to my parents' house, I could find a decent collection of jerseys
so
that I never got rid of.
We
I might have a Bledsoe Bills one.
Jersey Day? We'll do a Jersey Day. Nice.
Yeah, Jersey Day. Jones has to go buy one. But everybody else
goes. We know websites you can buy.
It's like brand new.
the tags hanging off.
Tags on it. You can return
well,
it the
I'm
next
bring
day.
It back. I'm not gonna pay for
it's
this.
It's not a bad idea. Jersey Day.
That's not a pro player brand.
Yeah.
Jersey Day.
I like it.
I can wear my Marcus Smart t-shirt jersey. Other than that, I don't think I own anything. That's the only one I got.
A t-shirt jersey.
You have a Marcus Smart jersey?
I think it's probably. It was bestowed upon me.
Oh, okay.
But I do.
No way you bought that yourself.
I do have that. Yeah, I don't buy anything myself. Are you kidding me? I use my money on a jersey. Not happening. Oh. So you can jump in today. Trench talk along with jersey talk on Jones and Keefe, 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and your text number. You can interact at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. Watch along, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can also chat there. Usually a healthy conversation going on Twitch. And you can watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI to watch along there. Bedard says the Patriots have a plan. It's the trenches. D-line, O-line.
Mm-hmm.
How do we feel about that plan? Is it the right plan? Where would you start with that?
Well, did you ever see the sequel to The Meg? The Meg 2?
I don't think I saw the first Meg.
The Trench.
Okay.
That's what it was called.
Good.
That worked out pretty well for Jason Statham and everybody involved there. No, it's not certainly glamorous by any means, but after watching the Super Bowl and after watching the Philadelphia Eagles, you got to start somewhere, and they have a million needs. That's why I'm not sure you can completely go wrong. Like, if they added a high-end wide receiver, would you be like, damn, it's not a lineman? No, because they need that too. Or if they added another corner, or if they added even a running back, not that that should be the priority by any stretch, but they have so many spots available. Quarterback, nope, got the quarterback, which is great. They have one really good corner. That's also great to have. After that, like, I like some of the D linemen. Don't love them, but I like them. I think they'd be better with another really, really good player up there. We mentioned Myles Garrett from a week ago. If you added Myles Garrett to the group of Barmore and Godchaw and White, then yeah, I like those guys a lot better. But there are so many different places to go. I don't hate the idea, though, of the guys up front. You saw how dominant Philly was, and it was for both reasons, right? It was them getting after Patrick Mahomes without even having to blitz, so they could leave a bunch of guys in coverage. And then also Jalen Hurts having time to throw and Jalen Hurts having the ability to run because their offensive line was so good. So, yeah, it's not the most exciting. It's probably not a lot of household names for a lot of fans right now, like whether it's guys in the draft or even some of the top free agents, but I don't hate it.
So, and again, it might be overreactionary to the Super Bowl, but I think you make a good point. It's not just the Eagles' D-line, which we spend a whole day talking about after the Super Bowl and how dominant they were, and they were. I don't mean to take away from that, but probably what's underscored with the Eagles championship team is their offensive line. I think they have three O-linemen that they pay $20-plus million to. Lane Johnson, Maialata, and I think Landon Dickerson. I think they all make $20-plus million a year. And so they went out and they added Mekhi Becton this past year. They moved him from tackle to guard. So their O-line was great. So, you're right, it's not sexy. It's not maybe the most interesting to delve into. It's not as fun to talk about as a wide receiver or a shiny object like that. But their plan to build through the trenches is a sound one. And I'll tell you, Keith, yesterday I said, well, Josh McDaniels, smoking gun on this coaching staff. Who's running the team? Do I have a high confidence level in who's running the team? Well, to answer the second question, you got to answer the first. I'm still worried that Kraft is running things, and I don't trust him. Vrabel, I would trust more. This doesn't sound like a Robert Kraft plan, right?
To bring in, that's not what sells tickets. That's not what gets people all fired up.
So that's promising.
Because I'm very much the shiny object person. So if you were like, hey, they just signed T. Higgins, I'd be like, wee, season tickets.
Me too.
But,
well, I mean, maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah. No, but like,
I get his jersey, obviously.
Hey, but like long term, and hell, even in the short term, like maybe the better approach would be to get the guys up front, and not the most glamorous by any stretch, but long term could pay the most dividends. And looking at the Eagles' offensive line, to your point, they have there's two first round picks, but one of them wasn't theirs, right? Like Becton was a first round pick by the Jets. But I'm just saying how these guys got into the league: two first round picks, two second round picks, and a seventh. So it's like, all right, one of them was some kind of good luck, but the rest of it is pretty highly invested players. Right? Like Lane Johnson was a super high draft pick, and they hit on it. Dickerson was a more recent pick, but that was a second-round pick. Their center to replace Jason Kelce was also a second-round pick. So, I mean, I guess you could look at that one a couple of different ways. You know, they have two guys that were drafted in the top 11, right? Becton was the 11th pick in 2020. I don't really want the Patriots using a top 10 pick on a lineman,
well,
but
is the need there? I'm sorry, is the value there? Like, is Will Campbell
in this draft
a tackle? I don't know that he is.
Yeah, maybe not.
And so do you move down to get him? Do you wait to get him? I know Doug Kyd in the Herald today with his mock draft was making the case you can get a franchise left tackle in the second round. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, so I don't know that either.
Patriots did it with Matt Light. I'm not saying it's impossible to do, but I think that's a tougher needle to thread. So the way I would answer this, if you're going to go all in and build through the trenches, get your hog mollies, your big uglies, your hosses, that's your plan. I think the better route to do that is free agency. And I think the way I would phrase it is the top free agent target for me is not T. Higgins. And I would love them to get T. Higgins. But I think there's a lot of options at wide receiver. We've talked about them. You could trade for DK Metcalf, Cup, Samuel. There are receivers in the draft. Not that this organization has a good track record of that. So I think the number one free agent target for me is Ronnie Stanley. And getting a blindside left tackle who has had injury issues, but he's been a high-level player for a talented and successful organization, I think that's where I'd start. That would be the ideal fit this offseason if the Patriots are going to make a big splash, drop some dough.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
T. Higgins, I'd be very excited about. Yeah, I like a shiny object, too.
Yeah, get the jersey. You're more likely to get the T. Higgins jersey than the Ronnie Stanley
right,
jersey.
But I just, if they don't get Ronnie Stanley, then I'm starting to wonder, well, where is your franchise left tackle coming from? Is it the draft? I'm not sure. Is it another free agent? I'm not. I feel like that's, if you're talking about scarcity at a position, that's the one I want to go capitalize on.
Yeah, I'm torn on the draft just because I don't want one in the first round. I want one probably in the second round, but then you're saying, well, if there's nobody really liking the first round, what are the chances of somebody really liking the second round? And we've seen it work both in their advantage and not in their advantage. The Patriots drafted Joe Tooney and Shaq Mason not in the first round. Mm-hmm. And those guys at a time were two of the best guards in the NFL.
Guards.
Yeah, no, you don't want Tooney playing left tackle, but they were two of the best guards, but still like solidifying your offensive line. Like I would say Dickerson and Becton pretty good for the Eagles. So there is an avenue there, but then there's also the two guys you took last year. Like, you kind of took that similar approach, right? Like, the two guys you drafted a year ago, and maybe you were going to play one of them out of position or whatever, but those guys you could have looked at, and you're like, all right, that's similar draft capital to Tooney and Mason. So it's all about finding those guys and then sort of developing them. The problem is if you try to fill too many of those spots in free agency, just because the nature of free agency, it's going to chew up a ton of the money, a ton of your resources that you have. So do you fill up on offensive line, and then what do some of the other groups look like? Whereas if you at least get a cost-controlled guy in the draft, now hopefully he's plug and play, right? Hopefully he's better than Cole Strange
is. Yeah, hopefully he's this year's Joe Alt, right?
Yeah, you put him in there and he plays.
A lot of people said last year, if you didn't want the quarterback, I think you were wrong. And if you didn't want the wide receiver, a lot of people wanted Neighbors or Marvin Harrison or whatever. There was a school of thought that go get your franchise tackle in Joe Alt, who missed a stretch of time as a rookie with the Chargers, but was really good.
Yeah.
Maybe you get that guy, whether it's Campbell. I think there's a real chance Simmons out of Ohio State, who's rocketing up mock drafts. I think there's a real chance he's the first tackle taken. Banks out of Texas has dropped a little bit. But if you get your equivalent there, right, hopefully that's best case scenario. Plug and play. You have a cheap, controllable left tackle to protect Drake May's blind side for the next, you know, 5, 6, 10 years, whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, just looking back on it, Wallace and Robinson were both drafted in higher spots than Tooney and Mason. So it is such a crapshoot, but it's also, they took, now, this is the other thing. Like, last year's draft, I liked after the second after the draft. Then the season played out, I didn't like it so much, but
no, I like their draft last
year,
too.
Their offense was so bad, and then it was the first year without Bill. You're like, what are they going to do?
Quarterback, wide receiver, tackle. I like that, too. Turns out two-thirds of the guys can't play.
And they continue that. They went QB wideout, lineman wideout. Defensive back, the one defensive player, then quarterback, who they may have two quarterbacks, which on tight end.
Which I did like that pick, too.
So but, like, they got to play. Like, you got to hit on the picks. And Bill Belichick did it for so long that there's a million examples on both sides. You could point, if you think he's a great drafter, you point to these 10. If you think he's a horrible drafter, you point to these 10. With Elliott Wolf, it's the 1 year, and you're like, I don't want that. And then with Mike Vrabel, you're like, I'm not really sure, like, what exactly his calls were in Tennessee, what weren't his calls, and things like that. So I think we're kind of entering into year two post-Bill, but with not a lot of real clarity. Like, we don't know how good he is as a drafter. He could have an awesome draft. He could stumble into it and it'd be like, oh, this guy, I wish he was here last year. Or it could look like this past season.
No, it could. And so Bedard says the plan he's hearing from the Patriots, they're building along the trenches. So is that the right approach? Do you agree with that approach? Do you think that's the right way to build the Patriots this offseason? You can jump in. 617-779-7937. I mentioned, Keith, my top free agent target is Ronnie Stanley. Who would yours be in free agency? Do you have a name above all else?
Well, T. Higgins.
That is yours.
Yeah, T. Higgins. And I don't mind the trench approach. I don't. And I'm probably more open to, if push comes to shove and the draft board doesn't fall the way that you want it to, meaning like Hunter and Carter go, I would take Will Campbell over you. Like, I think if that's what you're sort of left with, and even if you're trading down, like maybe the next best Hoss available in the first round, I'd be willing to do that. I still think it's a receiver because some of these trade options that I like, whether it's Cooper Kupp or somebody else, we highlighted yesterday, I want them kind of paired with somebody. So I think I would still go strongly after T. Higgins, at least in the free agent market.
So let's play this out. You mentioned if Campbell's the guy that Carter's gone.
Yeah.
Hunter's gone. Yeah. And now you're choosing between like Campbell or a name we just got on the text line, Mason Graham, 617-779-7937. Guys, you think he's worth the number four pick? I don't really think a D tackle is worth the number four pick. I don't think an offensive lineman who may not be an offensive tackle and might be a guard is worth the number four pick. So you could trade down, but my advice in that scenario is if that's really what it's shaping up, you got your intel, and I don't know how much intel Vrabel and Cowden are going to get. Doesn't seem like Wolf and Kraft were getting much a year ago. The intel you're getting is that those two players are going to be gone. The quarterbacks might be dropping. You're choosing between the Will Campbells and Mason Grahams of the world. I'd like to see him move the fourth pick and build through the trenches that way,
speaking
which is
of
Miles Garrett, Micah Parsons, et cetera. Yes.
Chris Schein mock draft 1.0.
I did see that. Who does he have him taking?
Mason Graham. That's why I brought it up. He's got Mason Graham. But he is one of these guys that says it won't be quarterback 1-2. It'll, in fact, be Carter Hunter 1-2. So he pushes the quarterbacks down. He has Cam Ward going 3, then Mason Graham going 4. Something to follow.
How would you feel about that?
No, not great.
Yeah, me either.
Because I actually don't think, I think they're
that's building. That's building through the trenches. That's sticking to their quote-unquote plan, but I wouldn't feel good about taking a D-tackle at 4.
And I know they got carved up on the run a lot last year, but just based on the personnel, isn't their D-line better than their O-line right now? Like, I feel better
Definitely.
About the D-line than Definitely. The O-line. And maybe it's wishful thinking, but I don't know, one of those pass rushers that's out there, or there's a lot of heat or smoke around Jeffrey Simmons that Vrabel had in Tennessee. Do you want a big Hoss on the D-line? Like, maybe they trade for him.
Him and Drake were friendly at the Pro Bowl, apparently.
So that could be a guy they bring in. I'd much rather that kind of trade, somebody that's played for Vrabel, is sort of on his same page, and you know is really good, than using the fourth overall pick on a D-tackle.
617-779-7937. We talked through some options for the Patriots. Sounds like the plan is in the trenches. O-line, D-line. Do you like that plan? Is it the right plan for the Patriots? Again, 617-779-7937. We're not all Pats today. It is a Celtics Wednesday, which means we'll talk to Terp at high noon.
Pure hoops.
Pure hoops. He was at an event
with Terp.
Jason Tatum and Tatum's trainer, Drew Hanlon, last night. Trainer to many superstars throughout the NBA, Joel Embiid,
nice.
Jason Tatum, etc. We'll get his thoughts on that. We'll get his thoughts on who the Celtics face off against tonight. Victor Wembanyama. How soon until it's Wemby's league?
Stud.
Could be sooner than you realize. Who you taking, Tatum or Wembanyama? We can get into some of that along with the Celtics and their success on the road. We'll get into the Red Sox, circle back to some comments yesterday. Might be going closer by committee. Might be going with a six-man rotation. They're telling us to wait for the kids who are almost here. Are they going to stick to that plan? And Brad Marchand talked about getting traded. So a lot on our plates today. We're starting Patriots. We'll get to T. Higgins and whether or not he's a realistic option for the Patriots right after Trending with Billy Lanny.